Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome into another edition of the Under Center podcast on NBCSportsChicago.com. I'm JJ Stankovic here in the Hallis Hall coat closet, joined by John Moon Mullen over the phone from a much more ideal location, Sarasota, Florida. Moon, how's the weather down there?
Looking for Bear fans down here. I'm not seeing too many, but beautiful. I just get away for a couple of days, and we planned for a while, so things from a distance for a couple of days.
I look forward to your tan when you return back to Chicago. That'll be something for our next video on NBCSportsChicago.com for all you
maybe
listeners.
Yes,
look for.
Maybe no, for that too much information part of the podcast, but never mind.
Well, from sunny, well, not exactly sunny, from a dour Cincinnati on Sunday, the Bears 33-7 winners over the Cincinnati Bengals. Probably the best game we've seen them play this year. Not probably, that was the best game we've seen them play this year. Maybe the best game in the John Fox era, you could make the argument for. But Moon, as we sort of dive into this game and what it means, let's start with John Fox. Does this game change anything for what will happen with John Fox come January 1st and the 2018 year?
Well, I don't think individually we can look at it that way. I don't think it does because, you know, it's a body of work or lack of work, if you want to be negative about him. To me, it's always been about what they will do over the last four or five games of the season. You know, if they roll off three more games like that, let's be totally hypothetical, then they end up 7-9 and all the arrows will have been pointing up, because the only way those kind of games happen is exactly what did, which is young players, Trubisky and Cohen, Dean, all those guys doing well. In order for them to keep producing like that, those guys will have to be performing, which will reflect well on the coaching staff. I don't think an absolute decision, well, it hasn't been absolutely made up at Hallis Hall. So one game, to me, the only reason, without a way you can say this, would be the only reason that the Cincinnati game will mean anything is if they go out and do it again against Detroit. Otherwise, it was just simply a bad Bengals team, and they just got hot for one day. And so to me, what it means almost has to play out next Saturday against the Lions.
I wonder this. There was the report that came out before the game, I believe it was from NFL Network, that John Fox was resigned to this being his last season with the Bears. And what we saw on Sunday was a real complete departure from the kind of conservative offensive game plans that we've seen. It wasn't only that the game plan was more aggressive on Sunday, it was more expansive. You look at some of the plays that they ran, you know, third and one from the Bengals 12, and instead of just, you know, running it to Jordan Howard, they run a play fake, have Trubisky roll out and look for Adam Shaheen in the end zone. Or you get up, they're up 26-7 in the fourth quarter, and they're running Wildcat with Tariq Cohen for a big gain. Just, you wonder if almost the way the season had gone, has gone to this point, almost sort of was like, all right, well, what's the harm in kind of taking the shackles off and seeing what happens? Now, granted, I think your point, Moon, the Bengals were a downtrodden, tail between their legs team on Sunday that was coming off a real bad loss against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That maybe played a part in what the Bears found out they could do as the game went on, because the effort was really not there for the Bengals. You have to figure the Detroit Lions are going to give a much better effort than the Bengals, just because the Lions still do have a little bit to play for.
Well, and to start with the specifics, they've got a quarterback that can hurt you. Matthew Stafford, to me, is a whole notch above what the Bears saw with Andy Dalton. So, yeah, I don't. It is hard to quantify, you know, meaning in some of the results in the Cincinnati game. I don't know though that I quite am bought into the damnation of the coaching staff for having all the shackles on the quarterback. To me, the shackles were put on by receivers who can't get open, mm-hmm. by an offensive line that's his best blocker, you know, arguably best one of the two best, Kyle Long, who's been in jeopardy all season long, or physical jeopardy, excuse me. I don't know, and a rookie quarterback. If I'm Dell Loggins, I'm not sure how much. I'm not going to go out there and call him Mike Martz. You know, a lot of go routes and things that require 3.5 to 4.5 seconds of protection from a team that can't do it. We saw missed blocks even against the Bengals in protection.
Yep.
A couple of, again, I think some of the sacks are on Trubisky, which he takes full responsibility for. But I don't know what percent we could say, well, it was them putting the shackle, holding him back, or, you know, Dell Loggins threw the ball 61% of the time last year with Matt Barkley, Brian Hoyer, and Jay Cutler. Now he's got this, you know, the Springfield rifle. He can go out and use him. I have to believe that so much of the game planning is based on, look, we can't do that. We can't protect him to do these kinds of things. I think there was some loosening up. I know Trubisky talked to the coaches and felt he was ready for some more things. But the limitations are kind of there in the personnel. I mean, people want to say how deficient the personnel is, and then blame the coaches for not using the non-existent personnel.
I think the biggest thing about, or the biggest trigger for the game plan on Sunday, was that the Bears went down and scored a touchdown on their first drive. They went out, and you saw what the offensive line looked like, and the play was good. They were blocking up really well in pass protection, giving Trubisky a lot of time to sort of let those option routes with Kendall Wright develop, let Adam Shaheen run across the face of a safety and let that develop. That, I think, more than anything else, maybe kind of the light sort of went off of like, okay, well, we actually are executing the kind of plays we need to sort of open up the game plan. Because if that wasn't there, if Trubisky drops back on the first drive and he's sacked and all of a sudden it's 2nd and 17 and then 3rd and 8 and then they have to punt, I wonder if the game plan would have wound up being different. And I did ask a couple players that in the locker room of just how big was getting in the end zone for the first time this year on your first drive for the overall just feel of the game. And every single one of them said it was huge. It was huge to do that. The confidence that was gained from that really, I think, opened things up. And that kind of allows now to go back to John Fox. You made a point earlier here that the final decision has not been made. Look, if the final decision had been made, they would have fired him after the 49ers game. I know the Bears haven't done that in their franchise history, but under these circumstances, you figure that would have been a move that would have been made. So perhaps that the last couple percentage points haven't been sort of tallied up here. And, you know, maybe it's a long shot, like asking for a recount when you're down 21,000 votes. But, like, there still is a shot there, potentially, if the Bears go out and they win these next three games by 26 points.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I think we can it would be totally, totally speculating. And, again, you can get a quote, you know, for Foxy to say, yeah, I'm kind of resigned to my fate, can be both, hey, listen, whatever happens, happens. You know, that's another way to put that. So, you know, we didn't get the comment from somebody that he's getting that. I haven't heard that from people close to Fox. But, you know, get back to the game and why some things mattered in the overall, you know, bigger picture. To me, is, you know, you mentioned going down and scoring in the first possession. What I think was most impressive, they were on schedules for so much of the game. Mm-hmm. Their first 9 possessions, and this hasn't happened yet this year, the first 9 possessions when the game was being won, they had at least one first down in every one of those possessions. 5 of those, they didn't have a penalty. Think about that. I mean, we've covered some stuff, JJ. It's been, oh my God, it's like 3 per possession, and, you know, they're, you know, 3rd and 22, and it's a, you know, 16-yard pass, and they punt, and that's the way things go. They were on schedule, which allowed a game plan. They got Cincinnati on their heels, didn't self-destruct as much, and they kept methodically, they stacked, you know, we always talk about stacking games. Well, in this game, they stacked plays, and they kept stacking plays, and then next position, stack more. Now they start to stack series, and that's what, if you want to look at the coaching staff, that's what they're looking for players to get. Don't put the handcuffs on the coaching staff or on the play calling by a false start and so forth. So there were you know, we've seen certainly in the last few games, I mean, the undisciplined play, well, this was almost the opposite. I don't know why they couldn't bottle that and kind of sprinkle it on the field against Detroit. We'll see. But, yeah, there were so many, like I said, they stacked plays and then they stacked series. You said they built, and not only scored in the first possession, but they stacked the next couple, and they kept getting first downs, giving their defense a chance to play complimentary football and rest. And that's the kind of building game plan that lets Dow log and say, okay, well, this is the one we work on. We wouldn't use this if we were in 3rd and 17 all
right.
the time, but it's 3rd and 4. We can do X, we can do Y. So I think they created a lot of opportunities. In fact, Fox, even right after the game, mentioned the play up front. It wasn't just, it was the protection and obviously turning Jordan Howard loose. So that makes a coach's job a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think before we kind of continue to dive into the offense and the key contributors here, a quick word on the defense, because Kyle Fuller played such a good game again. And shutting down A.J. Green the way that he did was, you know, I know the interceptions haven't really been there for him. He only has one this year. But the play that he's had, if you watch every single Bears game like we both have, we've seen Pro Bowl level play from Kyle Fuller. He's probably not going to make it just because you got to get interceptions to make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
But his ability, I mean, look at the receivers who he's gone up against this year. Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, he's gone up against now. A.J. Green, who am I forgetting here? Mike Evans. I mean, he hasn't had...
You say Brown. I mean, you just took him at the first four. Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
They have the Packers, the Steelers, Mike Evans, and Jones. I mean, those in the first four games alone would have been enough to, you know, to ruin his season, and
yeah.
They didn't. You know, whether or not, again, your point, I mean, the intercept, people vote for Pro Bowlers based on certain stats, like sack totals for an end or interceptions for a DB. If you looked at the past breakups, probably, I don't have the number handy, it's probably got to be his best season by far.
I think he's got 15 right now.
So, yeah, it's been an odd year for him. I don't know whether you trust him going forward in terms of a long-term contract.
Right.
But that's another discussion topic.
Yeah, this is more just for right now. Kyle Fuller's playing great. I think Eddie Jackson, a big rebound game for him after struggling a little bit without Adrian Amos next to him. That strip he had of A.J. Green was a phenomenal play. And that play, maybe more than anything else, was indicative of the effort difference between the Bears and the Bengals on Sunday, where you know, Eddie Jackson plays to the whistle, goes in, and, you know, I think some people were wondering why he didn't pick the ball up and run. Well, it was because the whistle was blown. He played to the whistle there, whereas A.J. Green maybe was just kind of sauntering out of bounds, and Jackson went in and ripped the ball away from, you know, one of the most physical receivers in the NFL. To do that, you know, also to be in the right place for the interception, a really great game for him, and that can kind of segue into what I want to get into in the second half of this podcast, which is just how well the Bears' recent draft picks played on Sunday. We're going to get into that after the break here on the Under Center podcast on NBC Sports Chicago.
Hi, guys!
I'm Tara Lipinski.
And I'm Johnny Weir.
Guess what, Johnny?
What?
The Winter Olympics are right around the corner. And what does that mean?
Yay. That means we get to see Shaun White, Michaela Schifrin, and other top Team USA athletes conquer fresh snow and ice this February on NBC.
So make sure you're ready. Sign up for NBC Sports and Olympics emails by texting POD to 66866. Or you can visit nbcolympics.com/newsletters to receive the latest athlete updates, giveaways, and more.
Message and data rates may apply. Winter is here.
Welcome back to the Under Center podcast on NBCSportsChicago.com. I'm JJ Stankovic here at Hallis Hall, joined over the phone by John Moon Mullen from, I'm presuming, sunny Sarasota, Florida.
Yeah,
you don't have to answer
that. All these bunkers up, you know. The bunkers have feelings, so yeah, I'm here for you guys out there. Yeah.
All right, well, we kind of talked in the first half what this game sort of meant for John Fox and the possibilities for him going forward, however slim. Let's get into, though, the Bears' draft picks and just how well some of these recent Ryan Pace draft picks played on Sunday. This was a game that, you know, maybe in the last couple weeks there had been some rumblings, just some thoughts of, you know, well, is Ryan Pace kind of tying himself to John Fox by not firing him? Is that concerning for his long-term future here? I think this game, if there were any internal questions about Ryan Pace, they were all answered in a very positive way for him on Sunday against the Bengals, just with Trubisky, Cohen, Shaheen, Howard, Eddie Jackson, those five guys, maybe five of the six most key contributors on Sunday, with Kendall Wright being in that discussion as well. That has to bode well for how Ryan Pace is viewed around this building, if there was any negativity perhaps creeping into that view in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny, Jace, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, as you tick off the names, like with Cohen, Shaheen in particular, what's been the criticism over the last few weeks? It's kind of been, I mean, if there's been a question about the quality of Pace's draft, there's actually been arrows fired at the coaching staff. Well, what do you mean Jerry Cohen doesn't know the two-minute, or Shaheen's blocking assignment, he doesn't know exactly who he's supposed to pick up in this or that? And the coaching staff has drawn all the fire for these guys not being what they should be. And now they do well, and we're all kind of saying, well, boy, Ryan Pace sure can pick them. So, no, I think there's a symbiotic. He has to give them talent, and they have to develop it for him. So there's definitely kind of a helping relationship. But what you want to see clearly, and George McCaskey laid out the word progress back in the owner's meeting, and I'm sure everybody says that every year, but have you seen that from Adam Shaheen? Yep. And mm-hmm. Have you seen that in Tariq Cohen? Yeah, better. A game like last one. Eddie Jackson, as you mentioned, he shook off some problems and overcame. I think people don't realize sometimes, you know, they talk about on the offensive line, if you take one guy out, how it can kind of disrupt the chemistry. The same thing happens in the secondary.
Yep.
If you're not, somebody's not, you're used to playing with somebody alongside of you, as he was, and then it changes, that'll affect your play. But to your point, and then obviously Mitch Trubisky, arrows have been going steadily up, which is a testament. That means the raw material was there. If they couldn't play, it would not get better. So, yeah, Ryan Pace, I think any real judgment of his class got a little boost from the Cincinnati game.
I think your point about Eddie, you know, the offensive lineman, you take one guy out, it changes everything. For Eddie Jackson, he's been playing alongside either Quinton Demps, a guy who's an 8-year veteran in the league, or Adrian Amos, who has something probably like 3,000 snaps in Vic Fangio's defense. And that's something that I talked to Jackson about a month ago, and he said just having that resource next to him has been so valuable in just kind of getting him up to speed, because he's a really smart player. That's not to diminish him. I mean, he knew the Alabama defense like the back of his hand, and that is not a simple college defense. But, yeah, having Amos being kind of taken out of the lineup, I think, hurt him a little bit. But to then have him come back and rebound the way they did it against Cincinnati, very impressive, very indicative of the reason why the Bears drafted him, because he's a smart, instinctual safety who, you know, the biggest question about him was his physical play, right? Well, we saw his physical play show up on, you know, stripping A.J. Green on Sunday. So that definitely a big step in the right direction for him, as well as the guys on the offensive side of the ball. Just their usage and their ability to kind of execute different things within the offense was very impressive to see on Sunday.
Yeah, and it really does. Let's face it, everything kind of runs through number 10. And, you know, I think probably what was starting to happen is Adam Shaheen is probably where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. Tariq Cohen, I know we had a play a couple weeks ago, and it wasn't a sack, but it was a near sack of Trubisky. I'm blanking which game it was, but the reason turned out to be that Tariq Cohen was lined up 4 yards out of position. So what I think you're seeing is his supporting cast, those skill position players in particular, are getting to where they need to be, and at the same time, along as coming his ability. So he is getting more comfortable with who's supposed to be there, and they're getting there. So, you know, consequently, you've seen I think he was sub 50%. Trubisky was sub 50% with the receivers and everything that's going on in his first four games. The last five games, four of the last five, he's had a completion percentage of 60 or above. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that's on him and his coaches. It's also on some of the young guys, as you mentioned, and Shaheen, and it was only one game, but He's got amazing. What is he? Eight out of nine or nine out of ten?
Yeah.
Targets he's caught. I mean, that's a quarterback's best friend.
He's only had two targets that he hasn't caught. He had that one in New Orleans where he just kind of didn't run through the safety, and that I think was Kenny Vaccaro.
Right.
And I think that was one of those plays that was sort of indicative of like, he's got to learn that he can be more physical. He can use his size, and we absolutely saw that on Sunday. I wrote a film breakdown for NBCSportsChicago.com. where I looked at 12 plays that Shaheen was heavily involved in on Sunday, and a lot of them were running plays. And there were a couple in there where he was squared up against Carlos Dunlap, who's 6'6", 280, the Bengals' defensive end. And Shaheen had leverage on him on those plays. And it was almost like he got in there, he was aggressive, and he sort of, I don't know if it was a light clicking on, but it was sort of like, I am big enough to take on this guy. And his base was good on these. There were still a couple of plays where he missed and he whiffed on one run block and then on one pass block. But overall, Adam Shaheen played a really, really good game, both on the run and pass game. And, you know, you can't just isolate him as one guy. That helped open up things for Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen on the ground. That helped open up lanes for Mitchell Trubisky to throw the football and find Adam Shaheen. So you can just see how in this one instance, one player with his arrow pointing up does help make the other 10 guys around him play better with his success.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting as you're talking, I remember some of the Johnson play. And people, you can be critical and say, well, Johnson, like the rest of the Bengals, they were just kind of phoning it in at that point. Okay, yeah, but Shaheen, if that's the case, then you should absolutely stomp on a team like that. And that's what they did. So you can say, well, maybe Johnson was just going through the motions. Well, yeah, but to your point, Shaheen did what he should have done in a situation like that, is take on, this is a good, this is an NFL defensive end who's got size, even on Shaheen, size and technique. And Shaheen took it to him. And that's the kind of thing, I think, if you meant, even in the critique, his confidence is going to grow. He now can believe I can do that. And if people don't think, you know, oh, he's in the NFL, of course they have to have that kind of confidence. No, he comes from a little school.
Yep.
You know, so many of their draft choices are out of small schools. And you do need to get that confidence. He's got his head handed to him. We saw it even back in camp. I mean,
yeah.
In past pro and so forth. He didn't have that. And that's what you should have to build that up. And I think to your point, overall, we've seen some growth in him. And you can isolate on plays that, let's face it, 6 weeks ago, I don't think he makes that block on Johnson.
Absolutely not. There's no way he goes into the face of a defensive end who's bigger than him, who's been in the league for six, seven, 8 years, and makes that block. I mean, we saw it against Philadelphia where I can't remember the name of the end off the top of my head, but it was a play where all he had to do is essentially ride the defensive end upfield. And if the defensive end goes upfield, it's fine. It's a successful play. Instead, he allows the end to get inside on him because he bites on him going upfield. And he doesn't have leverage, he gets shoved over, and it's a negative play. Just his athleticism, his confidence, but then also just the smarts you're starting to see come through, just through experience. I think this is why some people are really quick to write off draft picks as busts, where, you know, okay, Shaheen wasn't really doing anything in the first half of the year. He was struggling when given some opportunities after the bye, but he's still a tight end who's coming from a Division II school. But beyond that, tight ends in the NFL usually are not instant successes. It's really, really rare to find someone who's a success both as a run blocker and as a pass catcher as a first-year tight end. So
I think, didn't he, looking back at the drafts, as I recall, you did a really nice piece right around the draft,
yeah,
kind of looking at what tight ends have done. I do think they're one of those positions, as you really pointed out, and some really good ones. You know, a running back can kind of fall out of, you know, just come into camp and like be Ezekiel Elliott or Jordan Howard. That's one position. You know, a defensive end, if he's got some shake and whatever, he's going to be good from the get-go. Obviously, guys will develop over time. A tight end is not one of those positions because they have to learn pass. They have to learn how to block like a tackle, and yet run patterns like a wide receiver.
Right.
And at this level, they're not capable of doing that, and that's what back to the draft. Let's have expectations because he's a second-round pick. But let's be realistic. And I think, you know, you see maybe at times his development, as you say, it's easier to write these guys off because, hey, you're a second-round draft pick. You can't even get across, you're letting a DM get across your face on a play, you know, upside play. Well, that's part of learning. You came from Ashland College. You didn't come from Alabama. So
right.
There's a learning curve there.
Well, and even, you know, I remember writing about the expectations for Shaheen this year and essentially being like, well, you know, if he catches maybe 20 passes and 3, 4, 5 touchdowns, that's probably a good base for him.
That'd be okay.
He's got 3 touchdowns, and he's on pace to probably wind up with about 20 catches. So after all that, maybe what we're going to get from Adam Shaheen is a pretty good base for a tight end to build on going forward.
Yeah, and it's hard. You know, I think even I'm not sure what the offense overall, because you're talking about, I'm thinking, you know, let's compare him to Deion Sims, a free agent acquisition, who really has been, I think, probably a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe this goes along with the whole offense. You know, for Shaheen and these guys, they have to. Sims should know how to get open as a tight end, but I'm not sure he's quite mastered that. Even maybe backslid, whatever. But
yeah,
for Shaheen, he need to get even to his level, and that's a 20 to 30 catch guy. I know Adam Gase was sorry to see Sims go because he said he's underrated as a receiver, and that's the way with a lot of tight ends. They're not going to flash. You know, so not, everybody's not going to be Shannon Sharp or not going to be Tony Gonzalez or Gronkowski. But if you get that, you know, 20, 30 catches, you're going to be a difference maker in most offenses as a tight end.
And as a red zone threat, Adam Shaheen has already shown he can be really good there. Let's finish here. We got a couple more minutes left, and we haven't really talked a whole lot about what this game can do for Mitchell Trubisky. And I just think the confidence you gain from playing the way that he did and just playing with a certain swagger that even as his complete, you know, he completes 12 of 15 passes against San Francisco, but like it, just the feel of the offense and the feel of the way he ran the offense was totally different on Sunday, where you could sort of sense that swagger that Trubisky has was really starting to permeate the offense and the way that the offense was run. And, I mean, going into an opponent who he's already faced in the Detroit Lions on Saturday, I think this could be a really, really good situation for Trubisky to keep his arrow going up and then keep it that way through the end of the season and go into the off season with some pretty positive vibes about his game.
Yeah, I think they've really given him, the coaching staff has, you know, they've taken some heat for, well, they're being too conservative, they're keeping the wraps on the ropes on him and tying him down. But one thing's been, and I think this is an enormous building block, it certainly was, Jay Cutler had the best year of his career working on this. He's still down under, because 1.8 interception. They have interception percentage, they have absolutely drilled into him ball security. Because I think deep down, remember we've talked to him, and even he described himself as, yeah, I'm kind of by nature a gunslinger.
Yep.
I don't think they're ever going to have to worry about his aggression. But if he can have stacking games in which there's, oh, he hasn't thrown a pick, I think the last 2 games now.
Yep.
As he continues to build on this, now his ability, as you say, is going to start to flash. You're going to have a complete quarterback when this whole process is done, a guy who understands ball security but is also capable of completing 80% of his passes. I mean, we've been over, what, 70 and 80% the last 2 games. So I think this, yeah, as you say, this is a game, this will be a step up in class from Cincinnati or something with the Bengals that he saw. But I think that's part of the progression. Now, mm-hmm. if he can perform well, you know, again, it'll be another road game and probably more, obviously, a lot more emotion than the Bengals brought. But I think they've laid in a foundation with him that is going to allow. Okay, now you get it, son. Don't. You're not Brett Favre. Don't start throwing picks and then try to make up for it. Build on a solid foundation, and then now his ability and his accuracy is going to take over. I would not be surprised to see him put up another complete, you know, 20 out of 24 type mm-hmm. of thing, and without throwing a pick, because I think he's beginning to realize that sustains drives, that keeps my defense off the field, and that keeps us scoring.
Yeah, just one final thought here. As we sort of project out to 2018, I don't think anyone can say definitively right now where Mitchell Trubisky will be in 2018, but
right.
What we saw against Cincinnati and what we've seen in flashes, in spurts over the last couple weeks has been, it's given you hope that 2018, when he can kind of put everything together like you just kind of explained, Moon, that he can be a complete quarterback and year two really kind of take off. No matter who the offensive coordinator is, who the coach is, who the wide receivers are, he can kind of start to take off in that way.
Yeah, I think he's learning. He has learned to be an NFL quarterback. And again, it sounds like a cliche, but what do we think of Brady and Manning and even Breeze? I think the guys who don't give the ball away and their natural ability. I mean, you start giving him some weapons to throw to. He's completing, he's completed over 60% of his passes. After he's kind of got settled in, and that's with a receiving core that's been decimated. It's been non-existent. As he develops, he's going to be working from a foundation that I think the upside, it's everything to Ryan Pace. I think we're starting to see what Ryan Pace saw in a guy who'd only had 13 college starts. If you told me that he was going to put up a game like he did against the Bengals and maybe even a controlled game against San Francisco without quite the results, he's playing a lot better than a guy with 13 college starts, I think.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, that's gonna do it for us here on the Under Center podcast on NBCSportsChicago.com. Moon, keep getting some sun down there. Stay warm. It's gonna snow here, so that's not surprising. And we will talk to you next week from Hallis Hall.